Ross Molin Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bolin Podcast, otherwise known as RBP, presented by Bolin Media. I am your host, Ross Bolin, back again with your co-host, Chris Coles Coulson. Chris, another Monday, another massive show planned. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm beyond ready. Born ready. I woke up feeling it this morning, feeling dangerous.
Ooh.
Yeah, woke up, hopped out of bed, ripped a cig.
You got the Monday spirit.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
We saw my neighbor in his backyard. Speaking of, he didn't really rip a cig, but
no, I didn't.
My neighbor, he gets up at like 7:30 every day now.
Yeah.
And in Austin, a lot of people have sheds in their backyards,
converted sheds,
okay? Because many of the houses in Austin, stylistically, what they do is when they go and renovate or flip these houses, they turn the garage into another room.
Mm-hmm.
And then people don't have anywhere for storage, right?
Yes.
So they, you know, other than the garage or whatever, I don't know. But the houses in Austin are typically smaller. Everything here is ridiculously expensive. Nobody can afford anything. And as a result, the garages get flipped into rooms. People need more storage. They get these sheds in their backyards. It's very common. Also very common for people to have chickens and such in their backyards, which is weird. But if you stand in my backyard on any given night, you can get a full representation of Austin, Texas in the form of somebody in a garage band playing like two streets over.
Yep.
They rock, by the way.
Yeah, they do, actually.
My neighbor that is building the shed currently that already has two other sheds, that this one's probably for the bodies. One of the sheds, we believe, is some kind of sweat lodge that him and his buddy get into, and they do Indian drum circles.
Shamanistic
Native
rituals.
American drum circles. I'm not sure what the correct nomenclature is. I apologize if I'm offending anybody. But... like, I'm not joking. And these are white guys.
Yeah.
And they get it, and they're in their 60s. And he's got a beard and a bald head, and he smokes a pipe all day while he's building the shed, was the point of the cigs thing. He starts at 7:30, smokes a pipe all day.
Yes.
This is the same neighbor that once yelled at me in my backyard from his roof, I might add. Don't Bogart the bong.
Mm.
So is this... you'll hear the garage band, the Native American drum circle done by two white men in some kind of sweat lodge... and then there was another thing I can't remember. Oh, there's a train?
Yep, there is.
What that has to do with Austin.
You have your normal neighbor to the left that's like very anal about his lawn care, so there's usually a lawnmower running
at least
some point of the day.
I remembered. You hear chickens and ducks and shit.
You do hear chickens and ducks as well.
You can sometimes get all three of these things at the once.
So I believe Ross has confused in his mind the sounds of ducks versus chickens, because the other day we come outside to the sound of chickens.
This is fair, and you're not the first person to accuse me of this.
And I said, Ross... those are not chickens, or those are not ducks.
Because I said, you hear the ducks.
Yes, and I said,
Ross. You were like, you mean the chickens.
And he was like, I'm pretty sure those are ducks. And I was like, Ross, you have not spent nearly enough time in your life around ducks nor chickens.
Look, these chickens have clearly spent too much time around ducks, because some of their clucking is duck-esque.
Now I'm not even sure that there are ducks. There may only be chickens.
I don't think there are any ducks.
Why does somebody have a duck?
There. Look, because these Austin people are strange.
That's true. I can't argue with that.
They've just got weird shit in their backyards. Why do you need three sheds? What's the third shed for? Why does it have such intense roofing and it's like insulated and shit? Like the guy's building like a little, it's like one of those tiny houses.
It does kind of have tiny house vibes. But also the placement of this shed
is bizarre.
Very bizarre. Because imagine.
By the way, his whole backyard is just garden. It's like all he grows his own vegetables, his own
hanging
food.
Gardens.
He's also doing carpentry every day. It's usually in his garage, and I can't see it. I can't see what he's building. Are they caskets? Nobody knows.
One thing that I have to say, I was very impressed by the way that he held his pipe in his mouth while hammering and roofing. Never.
No hands.
That's the epitome of when you've mastered tobacco, when you no longer have to touch your smoking device. You can just breathe and operate normally throughout the day without ever having to take your pipe, cig, or cigar out of your mouth. Yeah, I mean, that's like pro level tobacco strats right there.
There's nothing that like cements you as an OG more in the world right now than smoking an old corn cob pipe.
No, it wasn't even corn cob. It had the hook and loop. It was like the big like whaling pipe. It was sick.
I have one of these in my front area.
Yeah, and
it was
I wish
my papaw's at one point. Maybe I need to start smoking out of it. I'm just scared of what he may have smoked out of it like 60 years ago. This is like
Well, how bad could it be?
What do you call really old stuff?
Vintage? Antique?
Antique. It's an antique.
I mean, maybe it's got like some extra hit in there, you know? It's like
that's
smoking
what I'm saying. I'm worried that that extra hit might be like opium or something that I don't necessarily want.
Paps was on the opium back in the day?
I don't know what Papaw was on. That's all I'm saying. If you're new to our show, welcome. We have a lot of new listeners the past couple weeks as a result of our interview with Libertarian presidential candidate Dr. Joe Jorgensen on episode 339. Our show has been around for a few years now, though, and every week on Monday and Wednesday, we discuss mental health, current events, sports, music, history, animals, and more right here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube.com/BolinMedia, or wherever you are listening and or watching. Most of the time, our conversations are covered in comedy. We try to bring humor as much as we can, right? And we hope you enjoy today's episode. RBP 341 is brought to you by Lisa, makers of the most comfortable mattresses in the entire world. Your mattress is the most important purchase you'll ever make for your place. Whether you're grinding in a studio apartment or you live in a 4-bedroom with 2 kids or some shit, having a fantastic bed for your body and mind to rest every night is paramount. Lisa knows how important rest is to a better life. Lisa is the foundation of a healthier, happier you. And to Lisa, a bed is more than just a place to sleep. It's a place for relaxation and rest. Lisa has been a sponsor of this show for many, many years now. I sleep on a Lisa Legend every night. It's phenomenal, but all their products have been thoughtfully designed to go beyond creating a comfortable bed to transform your bedroom into a sanctuary you actually want to spend time in. I slept on the Lisa Hybrid for a couple years. As I said over and over and over on this show, most comfortable bed I have ever laid eyes or body on. The Legend is equally phenomenal, if not better. I love their pillows. I love their blankets. I love everything about Lisa. They sent my Mimi, who's in a memory care unit. They hooked her up with a new Lisa bed because the mattress they had for her there was trash. They donate one mattress for every 10 they sell through organizations that work in causes like foster care prevention. Lisa, great people. They've donated more than 33,000 mattresses through more than 1,000 nonprofits. Mattresses are made in the USA. In-home delivery and setup is available. Financing is also available through Lisa. Do not miss out, RBP gang. Live healthier, live happier. Rest deeper. Order today and get 15% off any mattress for a limited time at lisa.com/RBP. Use the promo code RBP. That's LEESA.com/RBP. Promo code RBP. Keep in mind, you also get a 100-night risk-free trial, plus free shipping and returns. Time for some announcements and shouts. I know a lot of people are waiting on sports takes from me, okay?
Are they?
A personal hero and friend of mine and friend of the show, Daryl Morey, obviously decided to step away from his job as Rockets general manager over the weekend. The Astros were eliminated from the postseason, and I have to talk about these things. I realize that, but I need more time. I'm still processing emotionally. I will speak on personal sports circumstances surrounding the Rockets, Astros, and maybe even the Texans if I feel like truly torturing myself this Wednesday on episode 342. I'm sure Christopher has sports takes as well. But I'm just saying, Houston people, if you want to hear from me about D. Morey, about the Astros, perhaps even about Romeo Crennel's ingenious decision-making in our most recent Texans loss, Wednesday, episode 342, come back and you'll get some hashtag sports. Happy birthday, Benson Ross from ATL. Thanks for sharing the show with your girlfriend.
We might want to check in on Benson. ATL sports fans are...
they're used to it, though.
Well,
speaking of sports, they're used to it.
But it keeps getting worse.
Oh, it's just years and years and years of this, though, Chris. At some point, it scabs over. And you're numb to the pain.
Okay, well, hope you're okay out there, Benson. I'm sure that wasn't the birthday present you were looking for. But, I mean, hey, hopefully this one is.
Yeah. Benson, I'm here, too, in the sunken place of sports with you. Just so you know, you are not alone. If you want to watch this show, not just hear it and see our shining faces, YouTube.com/BolinMedia. By the way, I have seen your complaints about me wearing sunglasses too often, and here I am. Look at me. Look into my eyes.
Shining bright eyes.
Look deep into my eyes.
Sparkling.
These are Monday eyes.
Wow.
They're filled with insanity. Our Twitch streaming schedule, if you want to watch us do other stuff besides podcast, is Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central. Twitch.tv/BossRolin is where you can find us. Twitch is a platform where you can live stream. and watch Chris and I play Call of Duty. We play Fall Guys. We play Among Us with podcast listeners. Huge shouts to all our supporters on Twitch. Thank you for following, subscribing, donating, and tuning in on twitch.tv/bossroland. Shouts to everybody who has redeemed channel points for shouts. Today we're knocking out the normal podcast shouts. Wednesday we'll hit the super shouts, which I'm still not sure what that will entail. But normal shouts, here they are for everybody on twitch.tv/bossroland. Who has redeemed channel points for normal shouts? Baby Legs, Baby Brown Bear, Mia Toad, Blitzkrieg, Sadie Baby, Lumpy Bean Burrito, Hania, Xavier, CP Crazy Cat 90, Medicated Wookiee, Agent Dalto, Struck, Nickelmore, Disturbed Crayon, SKC, Will the Deuce, Bucky, Flying Squirrel, Drac, Queso Dip, The Wheat Bread, Jordan, Sir Ozone, CMDCPA, Palouse Pirate, Clutch, Sean, Team Coles, Shremorpazorg Plagwalius, DJSI, Figam Sam, and John Will Glass. Thank you so much, guys, for supporting us on twitch.tv/bossroland. It's time for our first segment, Hotline Calls.
Oh, yeah.
We have a hotline number. It is 888-888-WR-BOLEN, 888-WR-B-O-L-E-N. You call the hotline. You ask a question, leave us a hypothetical, a trash or not trash, tell us a story, sing us a song. Some people just use it as an outlet. Because so many people need an outlet this year to just yell shit. You'll hear from one of those people today. But some people, it's calls that aren't intended to be shared on the show. They just say up front, hey, this isn't for the show. That's totally cool. You can do that too. 888-WR-BOLEN. There is a 2-minute limit on the hotline. You don't have to be sober, as you will certainly hear today. But be clear and succinct, if you can, when you call 888-WR-BOLEN. Just so everybody else can hear your call. In the same way that I do. We've picked out a few calls to play for you today from 888-WR-BOLEN, the public Ross Bolin podcast hotline. Here's the first.
Hey, man. Love what y'all are doing. What's up, Chris?
Hey, man.
I would like to hear y'all's opinion about having friends with differentiating like political views. So like I have friends with obviously different political views.
Obviously.
Sure.
And then my best friend and I don't care what they think.
Okay.
But they care what I think. So I wanna know if this matters. Thanks, bud. Love what y'all are doing. Glad you're here, Chris.
Hey, thank you, man.
Great call.
Thank you.
Great call. Clearly drunk.
Succinct, though.
So drunk, but succinct.
Very succinct.
Was his question worded well? No.
Maybe not.
But did we understand it?
Absolutely.
Of course. He wants to know how to handle friends with differentiating political views. Obviously, it's election season, probably the most heated election season ever in the United States, and in my lifetime, certainly in terms of tensions. Tensions are super high.
A little high.
On both sides.
Really?
People have a hard time discussing these things.
Haven't been able to tell.
I don't know if you've heard.
There's an election
going on?
There's
a lot of angry people out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're very upset.
It's been a pretty calm year, I thought.
Oh, all the Americans are pissed. And I can tell you, this is something that I struggle with on a day-to-day basis. I have a lot of friends.
As do I.
As does Chris. Both of us being raised in, you know, upper middle class America where
in the South.
Mostly white people that we're familiar with, that we were raised around, that we were friends with, that we grew up with. And a lot of them lean right or are far to the right. And in my case, I've watched friends based on where they've moved geographically. Like I have a couple of best friends from college, born and raised in Houston. Neither of them went to school in Texas, though. I'll note that both went to very liberal universities, ended up in San Francisco. These guys are nowhere near the right anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And these are guys that grew up in it with me.
Oh, absolutely.
I also have friends who have grown up, gotten married, have kids, and have moved even further right. They're in the burbs, or they're in you know, big-ass houses with in taking care of private school expenses and big mortgages and have giant SUVs, and they care about pretty much one thing, paying the bills, taxes, and also sometimes conspiracy theories. I got people that aren't even the far right anymore, that are like the alt-right, which the new alt-right is no longer like even racist. I think that's just generally part of the right. It's QAnon. and crazy conspiracy theories and like the wildest shit you've ever heard, which ironically over the weekend, President Trump, when asked about, I don't know if it was over the weekend, but since we last recorded, when he did his town hall, was asked about QAnon.
Point blank.
And he keeps saying he doesn't know anything about it, but he just knows they're very strongly against pedophilia. Basically, he's found a way to write it off without having to actually address it. It's amazing. QAnon, obviously a very dangerous, toxic thing, in my opinion.
Also, anytime QAnon is brought up to our president, he, like, circles it back into somehow Antifa. Every time he's asked
he's
about
like,
QAnon.
I don't know about QAnon.
But I know Antifa.
QAnon, but I know, I tell you what I do know about these Antifa and the far radical left burning down our cities. By the way, none of which are run by Republican mayors. It's so bizarre. But the point being, obviously, I'm probably pissing off some people right now as I speak. That I'm more than aware of the situation, how difficult it can be when your friends have differing political views from you. Because I'm not far right or far left, frankly. It becomes difficult for me to speak to people on the far left as well, or even on the regular left in some cases, or what is seen as more of a normalized left at this point, that to me, I don't know how normal it is. It's very hard. And the thing I think that I've noticed is there are so many assumptions made about people at this point. And you can't really assume safely about, if you want to have a conversation with somebody about politics, you have to be very straightforward. And you can't really assume anything. Ask questions about the things you assume. Because people get mad heated and start assuming a whole shit ton as quickly as they can when you get into politics in 2020. I don't consider myself a Democrat. Everybody I know on the right considers me to be a Democrat.
Sure.
And I'm like, okay, that's kind of a unfair assumption. You just assume you know. Like, they'll bring up Trump stuff and then be like, but Joe Biden this. And I'm like, I never said Joe Biden was a great dude that I love very much and I'm so stoked that he's our presidential candidate. Like,
yep.
At no point have I ever said that on the show. In fact, I've said the opposite. I've complained incessantly about how our two options are trash to me.
He has.
But it's a lesser of two evils situation.
Sure.
In my case, that decision is not difficult. For many other people, it's more complicated or difficult. I can't really judge that. I know my circumstances. I know what I have been. I know what my eyes have been opened up to over the past several years of my life that have changed my political views in a way that really the only thing that's fair to say is that I now have an educated political view.
Sure.
Whereas before, it was mostly ignorant. Like, mostly just based in stuff that's shallow. Not a whole lot of depth or complexity to my political views, which is the case with a lot of Americans.
Sure.
What's complicated about our current situation then is that everything has become politicized. Our pandemic situation, completely political at this point. Mask wearing, completely political at this point. Anything having to do with healthcare, anything having to do with, really anything. Everything has been politicized. Even further in the election season.
I think that's why it's become so difficult to talk about politics with the opposing side, because it's no longer political, or it's no longer just about politics.
It transcends
into, to daily life, and like for a lot of people, it transcends into a human rights issue.
Yeah,
if you fall on one end to the, if you're on one end.
I think for most of us at this point.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. And if you're, that's where the issues can arise, because a lot of the people that you're going to disagree with politically don't see them as human rights issues.
Or don't choose to invest emotionally in those issues. They choose to invest emotionally in issues that only affect them, which again makes that conversation very difficult from the get-go. I would say one of the things you have to do is with your really close friends in particular, you have to tread very lightly here. I know it's frustrating, and I know this year sucks, and I know it's hard for all of us. This has not been easy for anybody. Let's not burn a bunch of bridges with our friends over it, too. I mean, look, there are ways to discuss very, very sensitive subjects with people without getting into full-blown, let's fucking kill each other mode. You know?
Sure.
And so much of that civility has been lost, and it's in part, in my opinion, because of our shite leadership, which clearly hasn't had a civil conversation since maybe ever.
The arguments have turned into name-calling and downgrading slander as opposed to building up your own side and creating an actual argument.
Just wildly immature.
Even having an argument and opinion to stand behind. It's more about just bringing down the opposite, the other side. But the hard thing for me in terms of, you know, let's not try to burn a bunch of bridges. Mm-hmm. Is as somebody that tries to be an ally.
Well, there are lines to that, too.
Yeah.
Some bridges you got to burn.
Yeah, exactly. It's difficult. But that line is a difficult line to find. Especially, like,
hard.
As a 21. Like, okay, for you, you're 32. So, like,
33. But I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. You look 31. I mean, you look great. Oh,
okay.
But you are, like, at the point in your life where you're, like, an adult.
I'm like an adult.
You are an adult. People your age...
I would say like an adult is a fair assessment, but sure.
Okay. People your age don't really have an excuse for... Like, they're choosing to believe what they believe in, right?
Yeah, it's different now.
People
for sure.
My
you'll feel the shift when it goes from, like, we don't really know, Dick.
Yes.
I'm a Republican, to, like, no, I'm serious.
Yeah, and so that... Well, that's the difficult thing for me is, like, I'm 21. So, like, I have friends that are younger than me that are still 18, 19. Then I have friends that are a little bit older that are 22, 23. But, like, they have only believed in what's been impressioned on them throughout their entire life. So
yeah, it's the same thing you'll see with religion with people as they get older. The more people that you see raised religiously, the more of them start to question things and shift away from that when they get older. It's very strange. People get pulled further into it.
But for me, I struggle with finding that line with friends that... just don't have the perspective, but are doing things that I wholeheartedly disagree with or believe in things that I wholeheartedly disagree with just because they, like, and is it on me to attempt to give them that perspective? Because if I try, I don't think so either.
In a way, yes, but to only a certain extent, and really the younger you are, the less I think that's on you.
Exactly.
Because like you said,
how am I supposed to do that? Like, I can't just text somebody and be like, yo.
Well,
like,
frankly,
you know what I mean?
It's very difficult at 21. It's why I think it's so funny that we can vote at 18, because most of us don't have enough life experience, education, or information to be qualified voters at 18 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, frankly, this will be the first election where I feel like I'm a fully educated and qualified voter. Like,
sure.
I've done 3 or 4 of these, I think, and... most of them I've voted on maybe 2 people based on some slight education.
Sure.
And then a whole bunch of other people I've never heard of based on pretty much nothing at all, which is probably not the move.
Maybe not.
So it's circumstantial. It's tough because, like, I didn't get to a point where I felt where I feel like a responsible member of voting society until, like, now. And I'm, like you said, I'm 33 years old, but look, 24, would you say? So it's tough, man. It's really hard for me to know when is it time. And you have to feel that out with each individual. Because some people, it's just straight up, it's not on them. Like, I'm serious. I know everybody wants everybody to be right all the time. But, like, look, a lot of us, just ignorance. It's just ignorance.
Yeah.
And it's just, we need more life experience or opportunity. Now, that also means when things happen like have happened this year, and there are these very eye-opening
moments
and really, like, revolutionary periods in our history in terms of civil rights, that is difficult for me to put an age excuse on. Because it's like, just if you're not looking around and paying, you're just straight up choosing to not pay attention then. Especially this year when, like, everything else got shut down. What are you looking at?
Yeah.
So,
well, like, I have friends and even some family that when... Like, say, back when the George Floyd incident happened, I think that was late April or early May, and the
hashtag
protests,
murder.
The George Floyd murder happened, and all the riots and protests were going on, and there was all this evidence online of police brutality against protesters and rioters.
All these videos,
all these countless.
Twitter was a freaking
thousands
mess, dude.
Yes,
that
thousands
first month,
and thousands and thousands of videos of blatant police brutality.
The craziest shit you've ever seen. We had one in Austin. We had a video of a cop downtown. All these cops are up on this elevated platform, shoot a beanbag at head level into the crowd, not at fucking leg level or dick level. He hit a kid in the eye.
Yeah,
the motherfucker has one eye now.
Yeah, it took his eye out. But regardless, I had friends and family around me that were like, oh, I can't watch any more of that. I don't want to see that. And, like, it's like, I understand where they're coming from, but you have to put it in front of you. Like, if you're refusing to look at the evidence and look at what's actually going on around you, then there is no excuse.
It makes it so much easier to ignore.
Yeah, exactly. Then there is no excuse.
Yeah, and I've really shifted my take on especially, like, violent videos and things that get distributed online that people are like, well, this is... Look, I get that our brains weren't meant to process that type of visual stimulation, but let's be frank. We've all been desensitized at this point. It's All of our favorite movies, TV shows, video games, everything is violent as shit. And this is something that you can't ignore.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's that's what makes it so hard for me to still have these conversations with people and there be that gap. And what you have to do is remind yourself that for some people, I don't know what it depends. You know, for me, I'll pray for my friends that I think need help in terms of their perspective or in the way they look at the world. Because for me, that's, you know, my religious beliefs that dictate that's what I do. But I certainly don't attack anymore. I tried that for a couple months this year, being aggressive about it, arguing with people and shit. Depends on the place they're in, but most of the time, it's just going to create discourse and widen the gap. And that's really the thing. Ask yourself this question. Every time you do something with a friend that has a different political view than you, am I widening the gap or am I closing it? Everything you want to do should be in an effort to close the gap between you and this other person, between you and a close friend, between you and a family member who have a fundamental disagreement politically, which right now is like probably the most tense thing you could disagree with somebody on. Maybe always is, I'm not sure. But I get that age is a huge factor here, okay? I get that experience, life experience, perspective, wisdom, knowledge, education, that's all a huge factor here. Background, huge. There are so many factors. There's no blanket answer. So you just have to come at it from a place of empathy. Try to understand the other person and always ask yourself, is this going to close the gap or widen it? And if it's widening it, what's the point? If it's just going to put you in a position where you're further away from the person, just walk. I'm ready to move on from political talk, though, Chris.
Let's do it. And last thing on that, I just think it's about, you want to give understanding. I don't think you're ever going to be able to strictly persuade somebody onto your side when you're talking about politics. So it's just understanding. Give them,
yep.
Present facts.
And another very good point. Do not try to persuade somebody to switch.
Happen. Yeah.
All you can do is try to give them things that after your conversation ends, they'll still be stuck having to think about.
Exactly.
That's what I try to do now, is leave people with things that will, that information or that story, article, video, whatever it may be, can help them if they want the help. If not, it's not on me. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Next call.
All right, Ross. Just take one.
Okay.
So, like, tonight, we're raging. We're partying as hard as we can in the pandemic. 16, 17, 20 people max. And then a rando shows up. This rando is, he's clearly a rando. He showed up in full face gear, as you would around randos. And I asked him about it. I was like, yo, what's up? Got the whole COVID situation down on lock, don't you? And he's like, yeah, you know, just staying safe. Little did I know he's doing that because he's around complete fucking strangers and he's actually 27 years old. This 27-year-old showed up to a college party and then gets mad at us saying, oh, when I went to Western, we used to let everyone party. Like, okay, in 2010, there wasn't a fucking pandemic, bro. Are you kidding me? Fucking show up to a party unannounced, no booze, no chicks? Are you fucking kidding me in a pandemic, bro? Fucking wild.
Hold on, wait for
it. Never seen anything like it in my life. The audacity of such a man to show up and then get mad that he's not welcome. As like a nearly 30-year-old old man. Sorry, Ross. Shout out Coles for being young and 21 like this guy.
Yeah. What? Let's go.
I'll end it there. Sorry.
Damn, he went dark at the end, bro. I was giving
you
compliments.
You're missing
it. You shh. I gotta go to bed.
He's still going. And then it just hangs up on him. Okay, this guy, also very drunk.
That was like a phone flip hang up, dude. That wasn't just a click. Homie
just
flipped the razor down.
Just threw his phone on the bed and just fucking kept talking. Damn.
It was actually a 10-hour phone call. He slept the entire night and woke up to it.
There's a 2-minute limit. Everyone is drinking their way through the rest of this year. So our caller says they're raging.
Yes.
They're partying as hard as they can with 17, 20 people max. And a rando shows up in full face gear, which is just so you mean he was wearing a mask? What the fuck is full face gear?
Nah,
was he
I'm
dressed like Jason's
guy,
and a hockey mask on?
Imagine this guy's got the face shield going.
Okay.
He's got the plastic Matt Rule, Andy Reid face shield on.
Yeah.
Fogged up,
this
ready
reminds
for a party.
This reminds me of Superbad. the old cat who picks up the high schoolers and then he tries to go and like party with at this random house party he wasn't invited to, gets the shit kicked out of him in the front yard. They end up stealing booze and like laundry.
Yep.
Detergent.
Yeah, well, containers. Because the period blood got on his leg because he was dancing with the host's girlfriend, you know?
Yeah,
Classic scenario.
Classic scenario. Michael Cera is mistaken for a guy who can sing The Who.
Oh, I forgot about that
really
part.
Well.
That
all
was
these guys
excellent.
Are on cocaine. They force him to sing The Who. Classic. Look, I remember being in college.
Okay.
In college, at a party. And you know, same thing happens in high school. It's annoying when you're at a party and the older guys show up. But I remember being in college and having like an alumni show up, you know, and being like, oh, come on, man. Like, what's your fucking old ass doing here? Like, old people at younger people parties are a hilarious concept. There's no other way to put it. That makes you a loser.
Yeah,
like,
it's not a good look.
Just a huge loser. And this guy, I was thinking about this yesterday, man. Everybody's masked up. Like, here's what it was. I was walking into the gas station to grab some more of these fucking tobacco-less nicotine pouches I've been using for over 2 months now. 2 months, no tobacco, by the way, no dip. And I was pulling my mask up.
Yeah.
And, like, it occurred to me, like, future, like, mask on.
Sure.
Like, I was like, I look like I'm going in here to rob this joint right now. So, like, because I had the, what is it called? What are the ones
the
that
gator
are?
The gator thing?
I had the gator. So, because my other ones are dirty, I was pulling up the gator, and I was walking in. I was like, I feel like I'm going to commit a robbery. Like, there has never been a better time in history to be a burglar or someone committing crimes. We're all masked up.
Dude, when quarantine first started, I think it was, like, 2 months in, and I saw a Twitter headline that was, like, people take advantage of mask mandates to rob bank in Oklahoma or some shit.
Okay.
And I was like, I was shocked that this didn't happen way sooner.
It feels like criminals are, I mean, I guess it's because they're mostly dumb as fuck, but they're slow here. Like,
they're taking it way too easy.
Getting away with just, I don't want to say getting away with murder right now. That's just not the phrasing I want. They're just getting away with they should be getting away with way more.
Yeah, I mean, we did hear God get clopped in the backyard a couple weeks ago. Maybe
that's
that was
true.
Maybe that was a mask guy.
We did hear.
Just get
just calmly standing in the backyard, and he was like, bop, 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 bop. Well, that was a gun.
Yeah. We were about to play Warzone. I immediately in my mind was trying to figure out ways of not bringing up the guy that just got shot and the shooting that I was about to do in the game.
Though.
It was terrible.
Regardless,
so, like,
anyway, good neighborhood other than.
I was like, when I had the long hair and I was wearing, I wear hats a lot more often when I have long hair. And
yeah.
There was a time that I walked into the, to a restaurant one time and I had gator on as well with sunglasses on and the hat. And I was like, bro, like, you couldn't even tell who I am at all. I have no defining features right now. I could do anything I want. I'm anonymous. I'm QAnon, basically.
See?
Cole's anon.
See? See?
It's me.
I'm telling you, man.
I started everything.
The criminals, it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time before the light bulb goes off.
But at what age, back to our party situation here, at what age, because, like, you took a fifth year, right?
Hey,
so,
listen,
like,
hey,
you
man.
You were 23 at college at some point, correct?
When I was at Western, Chris, we let everybody party. What is that? That's when you know you're dealing with an older loser.
Yes.
No, you didn't.
You don't let everybody party. And
nobody,
if you do let
except
everybody
the hippies
party,
in the 70s let everybody party.
And even the hippies in the 70s.
That was a disaster.
Yeah, well,
everybody got, it was just fucking STD and getting drugged left and right.
Scabies everywhere.
Serial killers came forth for the first time ever.
Okay, that's true. Hitchhikers.
The 70s were a mess.
Well, the 70s, yeah, okay.
They were a mess.
Yeah, I forgot. I mean,
Vietnam?
Well, that wasn't a good look, definitely.
No.
No. Oh, by the way, Netflix recommendation, Trial of the Chicago 7, excellent. Recommend everybody checking it out.
But nobody since the 70s has just partied with anybody. Hey, it's an open door policy. Fuck it, strangers can come in.
Yeah.
Certainly not in 2020. And who do you think you are, older sir? But again, he figured it out. If you're 30, whatever he said, old as he put it, which I wouldn't. He also said shout out to Coles for being young and 21, which ageist, but if you're a 32-year-old loser right now and you got nothing going and you're in a college town, mask on.
They can't tell.
You got nothing to lose. Well, clearly, they can sort of tell.
Well, I would assume if you show up to a college party right now with a mask on, people might question you a little bit.
So there's just nobody wearing masks at any of the college parties?
Well, I think they're just
there's got to be chicks in sororities who are like, I'm responsible. Even though I'm pretty sure being at a frat party in a mask is like being, what's an analogy that a smart person would have here, Ross? I don't have it.
It would be like a stripper wearing her costume to church.
Are you sure?
It's a little obvious.
I don't... A stripper wearing nipple pasties at Magic City. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have the analogy. Okay. A smart person would have it. Malcolm Gladwell has it for you.
We'll hit
Go listen to Revisionist History.
We'll revisionist? Hit him up after this.
Revisionist.
I was going to... Wait, I had a point what about the masks and about... Oh! The wraparound...
Like re-virginized?
The wraparound that I've seen from sorority girls is the bandana. The decorative bandana.
Oh, Christ.
So they pull that up that goes with the outfit, and that's the wraparound for wearing your mask.
Safety, but make it cute.
Exactly. Or I've seen new trend, ready? New dresses that are turtlenecks with a mask that comes up over the ears, so you can like pull it down and it's just a normal turtleneck, or you pull it up and the like the dress extends into a mask. Very stylish. I would say, you know, I've seen, you know, very beautiful women wearing masks.
Are you serious, though?
No, I actually am. They're actually really good-looking dresses. I think it's a really cool wraparound.
That sounds like the stupidest thing
no,
I've ever
No, seriously,
heard.
Look it up. Look it up. Female mask dress. They what? Look good. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, the ones that I've seen...
Oh, whoa, bro. That's not what you Google. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Chris, you might have discovered the most horrifying Google you can Google. Oh, my God. Go to, okay, everybody listening right now, Google female mask dress on your phone and then pull up the images. And hey, guess what? You don't get to sleep tonight. This is just hundreds and hundreds of photos of full over the face, like what Tom Cruise wears in Mission Impossible masks.
Holy shit.
And I'm so freaked out right now and don't know what else to say except that older people rule, younger people stink. And this is clearly. Female mask dress, now every criminal is going after this Google search. They're buying these. They're going to frat parties dressed as women. Things have taken a turn here. Things have taken a terrible turn, and we have to name the episode Female Mask Dress now.
Okay,
I don't make the rules.
You see these? Like, those are pretty stylish,
Everybody
right?
thinks I pick the... Okay, I don't
Not
know,
terrible.
Man. That's like, you got a pop-up now?
Yeah, I do have a pop-up.
Anyway, look... Just be careful out there. And if you're going to show up to a party unannounced that you're not invited to...
Don't be 27.
Try to bring some booze or some chicks. Or some substance and some chicks.
Well, that's
chicks.
The issue here because
or
you know...
Or some substance and some dudes.
You know he's just... I don't know. Well...
It depends on the party.
Depends
on the party.
That's very fair.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just, you know, if you show up at a college party and you're 27, I mean, people know what you're doing there. You know, you're trying to juice that.
I don't know,
trying to
man.
Milk it
27,
just a little bit.
I don't know, man. 27, if you're taking care of yourself, you could get away with this and nobody would know. Now, Bill Chungus at 27, he wasn't getting into a college party. Nobody was letting that happen. We got one more call. Put your headset on there, Chief.
We're back.
And we will play it. Third and final call from the hotline today. Again, 888-WR-BOWL, and here it is.
Hey, Ross. I'm going to keep it anonymous for this. I got some news and some medical news, and I haven't told anyone. It's been wreaking fucking hell on my mental health. Like, I can't stop thinking about it. Like, I haven't even fucking said this out loud. I was diagnosed with herpes, and I fucking hate it, dude. I got an anonymous fucking text from this number saying a partner had tested positive. I don't know who the fuck it was, and, like, I don't fucking know, man. Like, it wreaks fucking havoc on me, and I just, to pardon me now, like, I have herpes, and it fucking blows! Fucking ass! Like, fuck, dude, are you kidding me? What the fuck? It's so bullshit. But, yeah. Thanks for letting me get that off my chest, man. God bless. Gang, gang, gang.
Okay. I know this is a shift in tone. But testing positive for an STD seems like the end of the world, and it isn't. I know there was a point in my life. Look, I've told the story. I thought I had herpes for a full calendar month. I took a cycle of Valtrex. I got to the point where I was like, I was researching how this was going to impact my life. how dating was going to work, all that different type of stuff. 4 months before it turned out I was falsely diagnosed and had a terrible case of scabies. But I know multiple people at this point, because it's a shit ton of people with this virus that have herpes and that live perfectly happy, normal, successful lives. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, which none of us have ever heard of until 2020, more than 1 in 6 people in the United States between the ages of 14 and 49, more than 1 in 6 have genital herpes. WHO, the World Health Organization, another one none of us had ever heard of until 2020, says that globally about 67% of people below the age of 50 years old have HSV1, which is the version that just causes like the oral herpes, you know, the cold sores and such. Yeah. A lot of people have it. And then 417 million people between the ages of 15 and 49, that's 11% of the population, have HSV2, which is genital herpes.
Yeah.
That's an insanely large amount of people.
Yes.
Now, when it first occurred to me that this is something that I might have been living with, that was my first issue with the way I was looking at it, that it was just me. Same as when, honestly, when I had my first panic attack, when I got diagnosed with panic disorder. Ah, why me? Me? Why Ross? Yeah. The most important person in the world. Like, millions and millions of people suffer from panic disorder, panic attacks, anxiety attacks, mental health issues. And it was so solitary feeling, and that's just so wildly inaccurate. 417 million people have herpes. There are dating apps, there are meetings, the medicines are great now. I mean, they really have all this shit way the fuck more under control than they used to. Because, hey, I might remind you, Chris, 417 million people have it.
Yeah.
That's pretty motivating for Big Pharma.
Yes. I have a very, very, very close friend of mine, one of my best friends back home, that has HSV2. And as long as you take your medicine every single day, it's basically like
you're
completely normal.
Very normal life.
Extremely normal.
Here's the thing. Herpes in particular carries with it such a stigma.
Sure.
Like such a massively negative stigma in our society that I get that part. Because that's what I felt. Like that's what I felt the month I thought I had it. And that experience for me was crazy because it was just like this reminder that there are very few things that you can be diagnosed with that are actually, well, it's not very few things. There are actually a lot. But odds-wise, there are very few things you can actually be diagnosed with that are, like, world-ending.
Or lifelong.
That destroy you forever.
Sure, sure, sure.
There's most things you can overcome as a human being.
I mean, even in 2020, HIV medicine is to the point where you can live an almost perfectly normal life with HIV.
We have commercials for HIV meds now that are, like, allergy meds.
Yeah.
They're like,
it's like a once daily.
I don't know any of the names of any of them, but it's like watching an Allegra commercial. It'll be like, are you living with allergies? Are you living with literal fucking AIDS?
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Like, but the point is this, I get what you're feeling, and I know it feels so devastating. And as a person who has felt it, and even in my case, it obviously ended up being a weird experience where I was falsely diagnosed, and it's not something I still experience or have been, you know, had to learn how to live with more thoroughly than I did that 1 month of research and shit. It is not the end of the world. You are going to be fine. I know it's a big shift, but everyone in life encounters these. Now, not everybody in life gets herpes. Not everybody in life. But dude, 417 million people do. That is a lot. It's crazy, though, how many things will feel like the absolute end of the world. My life is over. I'm ruined. Nah, son, you just got to make adjustments and push forward. It isn't the end of the world, and you're going to be fine. Take care of yourself. Take your medicine like you're supposed to. Read up on how to live a happy and normal life, and then get after it. And you're going to be okay. And strap up, kids, condoms and masks, even when I'm fucking unmasked up. Speaking of which, RBP 341 is brought to you by Blue Chew.
Oh, yeah, baby.
every guy has performance issues at some point in their life. It's not something to be ashamed of. Another stigma that is stupid in denying so many men a happy sex life. So boom, BlueChew.com. Make sure you're confident, able to perform at another level every time that it's time to visit Pound Town. No matter what stage of life or relationship you're in, the chewables that BlueChew.com provide make something that's already good, sex, even freaking better. Are you looking to last longer? Go a few extra rounds? Who isn't? Want to be confident every time it's time to make fuck? Who doesn't? Go to BlueChew.com today now, son. BlueChew.com, first ever chewable that brings your performance in the bedroom to another level. They've got the same active ingredients that are in Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Since they're chewable, they can work faster. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. Easy to store. Put one in your wallet. Put one in your pocket. Stuff is cheaper than those other two, so this is a no-brainer. Basically, if you like making sweet, passionate love without a care in the world because your meat is shining brighter and harder than a diamond, you'll like BlueChew.com. Plus, you don't have to go to the doctor's office or spend time in the pharmacy line. BlueChew's online physician consult is free, and once approved, your order ships straight to your door in discreet packaging. A lot of people take performance enhancements in other areas of their life. Health, looks, workout, etc. Why wouldn't you want to do the same for the bedroom? It makes no sense. Don't let a bad day affect what should be the best part of your day with your partner. Sex. Don't bring the stress of the outside world into the bedroom. At BlueChew.com, you get the first chewables with the active ingredients, sildenafil or Tadalafil, I can never pronounce these. Same active ingredients as Viagra or Cialis. That's what matters. The chewables from BlueChew.com, made in the USA, discreet packaging. No nosy neighbor or mailman knows what you're getting in the mail. They have affiliated physicians that will work with you to find the dosage and active ingredient that is best for you. I went through this entire process. Super, super, super easy. Takes just a few seconds. The consult is incredibly easy. And then boom, your BlueChew chewables show up to your door. It's phenomenal. We have a phenomenal offer for the boys and men of the RBP gang. Visit BlueChew.com. Get your first order free when you use the promo code RBP. That's your first order free. Just pay $5 in shipping and it's hard dicks the rest of 2020, baby. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code RBP. Next segment.
And now, Russ Boland's Animal of the Week.
Been a while.
It has been a while.
It's been a hot minute.
Just a bit.
You would think, based on the segment title, Animal of the Week, that there would be one every week.
You'd be wrong sometimes. Sometimes.
Which is weird.
Well, it depends. Technically, there could be an Animal of the Week every week if you find an episode that has an Animal of the Week and you listen to
which
it every week.
Which there are hundreds
of. Exactly. So.
Hundreds!
It's not our fault. It's obviously on you.
No, nothing is my fault.
Not even close.
Today's Animal of the Week. Actually, a listener requested it via the hotline. As
yes.
I was going through the hotline calls and listening to them, and I can't recall his name, but I appreciate you, good sir. You know who you are. It's the giant Pacific octopus.
It is. Otherwise known as the interoctopus dofennili.
I'm a big octopus guy.
Yes.
Everybody knows I love sea creatures.
Yes.
Big fan of the ocean.
Yes.
Love animals in general, obviously, but really big fan of ocean animals.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've done lots
especially.
Of fish. We've done sharks. We've done whales. We've done turtles. We've done all these different things. I think we've done one octopus only, and this is, I think, our second in the history of the show. 341 episodes, if I'm not mistaken. Only one octopus. This is your second. The giant Pacific octopus.
And he is quite a beauty. What a specimen.
Now, when they
add.
Say giant, Chris, how giant are they?
Oh, they get up to largest known giant octopus to ever exist was up to, I believe, 156 pounds. Yes, 156 pounds, Ross, with a radial diameter of 22 feet.
I'm seeing 600 pounds.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm seeing scientific record of 156 pounds.
For the giant Pacific octopus, the size record is held by a specimen that was 30 feet across and weighed more than 600 pounds.
Oh, shit, I'm getting wrong records. Wow, Wikipedia is really failing me to start off here.
272 kilograms.
That's a lot of octopus.
If you want to get Euro with it.
I wonder how many calamari you can make out of that octopus.
Oh, I love calamari.
Same here, dude.
You know, a lot of people won't eat calamari.
Because they're scared of it.
Well, same and they won't eat shrimp. There's these people that don't like dirty ocean cockroach bugs or whatever. And I'm like, won't eat crawfish. Like, because they're gross because they're bottom feeders.
Fried crawdads
and
are...
And it's like, sir, ma'am. Sir, ma'am.
Pull yourself together.
You eat
so
all of the other disgusting animals in the world that just eat their own shit. You let your dog who eats its own ass lick your face. Like, you really, this is where you draw the line? You don't want to deter the shrimp?
Or octopi.
Why don't they ever deter these things? Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. My old restaurant I worked at didn't do it. They didn't devein the shrimp, and it was like a really big deal because their cocktails were like $16 for a shrimp cocktail. It was ridiculous. Regardless,
shrimp cocktail.
Are you a calamari guy with lemon or marinara sauce?
Both. Both. I do a little lemon sprinkle on the top.
Marinara.
I dip in the marinara.
Me too.
I don't marinara over the top.
And are you a ring
or a cheese fry situation?
Are you a ring or like the
both,
like
both?
Okay.
Or the full blown baby octopus?
I think the older
like,
I've gotten,
this is me eating a baby octopus.
The older I've gotten, the more I've become a ring guy.
A mollusk, by the way. All octopuses
are mollusks.
Are mollusks?
I see. Well, the
shouts to oysters, clams, and cockles.
The giant Pacific octopus mainly inhabits the North Pacific region along the coast of California, Oregon, Washington, British Columbia, Alaska, Russia, Japan, and the Korean Peninsula.
Ooh.
It can also be found, or it's found in the intertidal zone of the ocean, which reaches to the depths of about 2,000 meters, or 6,600 feet, if you live in America, which we do, most of us, unless you don't.
They're shy down there, too, dude.
Yeah, they are a little shy.
Introverts.
They're solitary creatures, the octopi.
Which makes sense. I've never seen a... Well, I'm sure there are breeds of octopus that do run in squads. But usually you see these things solo.
Yeah, they're just hanging out.
On planet Earth or whatever.
Yeah, they're just chilling, vibing, living in the moment.
Sometimes they fucking shit out some ink or whatever.
Do you know octopus are ranked as some of the most intelligent invertebrates on the planet, actually?
Ooh.
The giant Pacific octopus are commonly kept in display at aquariums due to their size and interesting physiology, and have demonstrated the ability to recognize humans that frequently come into contact with, similar to Bruce and Bella. Kind of the same thing.
You know the octopus from Finding Dory that's real smart and it can like camouflage onto shit?
Dude, I've only seen Finding Dory like one time.
I think that might be one of these, but like a smaller one. Because,
well,
like, obviously the hugest one is huge and whatever.
Yeah, they average...
The average arm span... The average weight is 110 pounds.
Yes.
And the average arm span is 16 feet across.
Which
again
is still, like, ridiculously
so
long.
So never
like,
mind.
16
never mind,
fucking
never mind.
Feet,
Finding
bro?
Dory definitely wasn't that. But this does have some of the... It's one of the octopuses that can do some of those same things that octopus was doing, the giant Pacific octopus, because they have, like, the camouflage ability thing.
Yeah. And they've been recorded to, when they see humans that they recognize, they can jet water, change their body texture, which is what you were talking about, changing their body texture along with... And the crazy thing about octopus is because they're invertebrates and have no bones in their body, they can squeeze through holes that are like the size of a dime.
So they have no bones.
No.
Just cartilage.
Yes. And because they're just underwater little floating dudes, you know? It's crazy. Also, they have the ability to solve simple puzzles. They can open childproof bottles and even use some simple tools. The octopus brain has folded lobes, similar to the human brain, which is a distinct characteristic of complexity, as well as some people have said consciousness. Visual and tactical memory centers.
Do they think the octopus is conscious?
In a small way. They have the ability to have
not
conscious.
Not bigly conscious?
Yeah, vaguely conscious.
No, bigly. Oh, not bigly.
Who is bigly?
They're not bigly conscious.
Is that a term?
You said just a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah, yes, President Trump says bigly all the time.
Oh, does he?
I was trying to think to myself, like, what eats an octopus?
Sure.
In this case, it turns out seals, otters, sperm whales, not things I want to be eaten by.
Imagine,
I guess, if it's just like,
and you
and
just
it's just me straight up Jonah the whaling, like, Jonah into the whale. Jonah,
bro, that would be the worst way to possibly die. You just
Jonah
literally rot away in the whale's acidic
yeah,
acid.
Yeah, but like I'm playing like the fucking drums on the whale's rib cage and shit while
yeah,
I'm in
sure.
there.
Okay,
you know?
Sure. I can
I'm
accept
getting,
that.
I'm having a little fun. I'm Pinocchioing it while I'm in there.
Sure, I can accept that.
Is that? Yep. Pinocchio.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Or All Dogs Go to Heaven. Either one of those. Great movie, by the way. Love that movie. All-time favorite as a child. Hope you've seen it. You
How
have,
come?
Right?
I think, what, which one?
All Dogs Go to Heaven.
God, yes,
okay,
dude.
Just making
but
sure.
But never, ever, ever, ever again.
Why?
Ever. What kind of a psycho puts himself through a dog movie by choice? Dog movies,
bro,
that's torture porn.
It's
that's just,
animated.
You just cry the whole time.
I didn't cry that much during that one.
I'm going to strap you to my couch and make you watch All Dogs Go to Heaven, and if you don't cry, you're out.
Okay, wait. I guess when he goes to heaven...
And then you
when
have to watch Fox and the Hound right after.
I guess when he actually goes to heaven, that was kind of sad. Yeah, no, actually, I probably did cry a couple times. Maybe that's what desensitized
me
as a child.
Can we start doing dog breeds as Animal of the Week? Just do dogs over and over and over, just different breeds of
dogs? You
know
dogs? What I discovered this week about dogs?
Hmm.
Anytime you crossbreed a corgi with anything,
yeah.
The result just looks like a corgi version of that dog. So like a corgi husky,
oh, yeah,
just looks like a corgi,
but they
with
shrunk
like a husky
them down
skin.
And then stretched them out.
Literally, yeah, yeah. No, it looks like different Fortnite skins.
Yeah,
like every time the corgi breeds with a different dog breed, it just is like it becomes just like it's Kirby. It is the Kirby of fucking dogs.
Kirby.
Yes.
From.
Kirby. Kirby from Kirby.
Please, why does that name
God,
sound so familiar?
Tell me I'm right. And
oh,
it's
Kirby.
Yeah.
Kirby the.
The sucker. You know, he like
the
sucks.
Nintendo character.
Yeah, yeah, from like Smash. But he was originally from his own games.
Not to
Kirby.
Be confused with
Kirby the bug,
Powder
right?
Puff, or whatever the other one is. There's one that's sort of Kirby-esque.
Is Kirby?
I only know this character Kirby because of Super Smash Bros.
Yeah, yeah. But remember in Smash, he sucks in things
yeah,
he... and becomes that.
Yeah,
yeah. So the corgis are the Kirbys of dogs.
And then Yoshi does this.
Was Kirby Bledum. Also? Bledum.
Go ahead.
Was Kirby Bledum. Also the name? Of the bug, the smart, like, the, not the bug, the VW bug that raced.
Kirby Puckett. All-time great Minnesota Twin.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't know anything about the Minnesota Twins.
Kirby, is Kirby Puckett alive
the
now?
Volkswagen.
Oh, man, he passed away.
No, it's definitely
the
not
late,
that.
The late, great Kirby Puckett. I want to say Kirby was a
it's
mouth
Herbie.
Oh, no, he had a stroke.
It's Herbie.
Herbie Hancock. Oh, I was way off.
Who the hell is Herbie Hancock?
Herbie Hancock.
But regardless, these
anyway,
octopi.
Octopus is fun. This is, I think we're good.
Well, they've been known to open tank valves, disassemble expensive equipment in the aquariums.
So
and,
they can. They're again very smart.
Wreak havoc.
And these arms that they've got can do more than you would think.
And the females lay up to 400,000 eggs per hatching cycle. 400,000.
Seems like they probably got a low rate of survival there.
They do. Yeah, very low.
Otherwise, the world would be covered in
well, when the babies are
Pacific
born,
Pacific octopi.
When the babies are born, they're only 0.03 of a gram. Very, very tiny little creatures, and they grow
those
up
are getting
to
sperm whaled in big bunches.
Yeah, you might have swallowed a few in the ocean. Those are the little baby calamari that you're eating all the time.
That's the whale. That was the whale noise I've got for you.
Mm.
What the. There's your whale noise. And that was your animal of the week.
I'm about to go to sleep. That
the
was
giant
excellent.
Pacific octopus. New sponsor alert. Pay attention. RBP341 is also brought to you by Suns Oil. These days, it seems like people are putting CBD in everything. There's a lot of noise, but there's one company from Vermont that's worth the hype. Suns Oil. Their soft gels are awesome. You just pop one in the old mouth and boom, you're good to go. And of course, their tinctures with CBD are great as well. I'll take a little tincture if I'm feeling anxious or pop one of the gels if I'm dealing with like terrible headache from allergies or whatever. The CBD brings me the peace I need to get through the day. And Suns Oil is the best. Why? It's organic, USDA organic. Suns Oil makes CBD oil that is USDA certified organic, made from hemp plants. So how the hemp is grown really matters, obviously, in Suns Oil Farms. Their hemp in Vermont. They never use pesticides, herbicides, or GMOs. These are simple ingredients. You obviously have to be very mindful about what you're putting into your body, especially when you're dealing with something like CBD, where, you know, there's crap CBD sold at gas stations. It's completely ineffective and bullshit. You have to find a place like Suns Oil that's making the best of the best with clear labeling, independent labs and testing, and of course the fair prices because Suns Oil farms their own hemp, makes their CBD oil in-house. Their prices are less than half the price of other brands, so you get organic CBD at an unbeatable price. They make CBD oil with simple organic ingredients at Suns Oil, and you can get 30% off your first order by going to sunsoil.com/RBP. That's SUNSOIL. sunsoil.com/RBP for 30% of your first order. 30% off your first order. 30% sunsoil.com/RBP. Next segment, Monday Mental Health Minute. So we are a comedy podcast, to be sure, but the focus of our show is mental health and wellness when it comes down to it. That's partially the result of how 2020 has unfolded. Not just for the world, but also for me personally. So every Monday, we like to include a little mental health talk to keep us all mentally frosty because it's never been more important to pay attention to your mental health than it is right freaking now. And today I wanted to discuss something that we are all battling in 2020, and that is fatigue. Mental fatigue. Feeling discouraged, beaten down, like you can't catch a break, like nothing is changing, like things are only getting worse. What can we do to battle fatigue, to change up our perspective, to shift the way we look at things so the negativity takes a backseat to productivity and positivity? This is something that I've struggled with. It's something that, Chris, I'm sure you've struggled with as well.
100%.
2020 has been tough for the fatigue. It's the never-ending news cycle about the same shit, the election, the fucking virus. It's the never-ending bad news. It's the fact that you can't go to a restaurant or you can't go to a bar, you can't go to a movie theater, you can't go to any event or place or do anything without being reminded of the circumstances, both the politics and the virus. It's really, really difficult.
Absolutely.
And you got to find way. If you don't, here's the thing. So much of life, like, you just allow it to happen to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you think, well, this is the way it is.
Or you get stuck in the mindset of, like, the this too shall pass mindset, which is true, but there's an extent to that in which, like,
That's great to keep in mind, but yes. You have to have action behind that,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was getting at. Yes. And this is something, the discouragement's been something that I've been struggling with specifically, like, since I've moved down here, especially just because having to be on social media all the time to be pulling from trends or putting posts up.
It's one of the downsides of our job, to be sure.
You have to see everything. Like, you don't really have a choice. You're just going to see every single news cycle that comes out 24/7.
I've gotten to the point where I'll pop in and I literally won't read a single thing. I just put up what I'm there to put up, and yep. I get out. I don't even look at
shit. I've been trying to do
a lot of days, dude, because it's too much. It's too much.
I've been trying to do a lot better of doing exactly that. But the discouragement, like, even, I mean, obviously, the job that I have now is something that I wake up every morning and I'm passionate that I get to hop on a mic and potentially say something that could have an impact on somebody's life to help them go through something that I may have already gone through. That's a blessing, and that's something that I am passionate about every single day, and I wake up in the morning motivated to do that. And it's hard with depression when you feel that discouragement in the back of your mind, kind of almost trying to, like, drag you back down, right? Like, making you question what you're really doing, and like, especially when the times are difficult and there's so much going on in the world, that type of discouragement and that type of lack of motivation in the back of your mind really eats at you. And I think it really takes, for me, what I've started doing is, like, on the weekends, I try to do these, like, really hard resets where I try to, like, basically grind myself back down to ground zero and really clear my headspace completely, get back in a space where I'm, like, going into the new week.
And how do you do that?
For me, it's been, like, well, being off of my phone for multiple hours. Like, on Saturday nights, I've started just turning my phone off if I'm hanging out with friends or something like that. So the only thing I'm focused about is what's around me, what I can control in that present moment. Because that's what I think social media, the issue that social media offers is it presents all these issues that you have no control over and you can't manage or handle in any way, shape, or form. And
yes.
So existentially, that's very difficult for somebody that likes to, you know, control things or help. That's empathetic. Somebody that's empathetic, it's very difficult because you can't do anything about it.
And honestly, that brings me to my biggest struggle when it comes to battling this fatigue. What I have found is that the number one way to do this is to practice living in the moment, which is something I struggle with so hard, and is partially as a result of having been in this industry in what you could call social media, the social media world, industry, whatever, media, for 10 years. And it's like something you have to train yourself to sort of limit your exposure daily because it's so freaking brutal and it destroys your ability to be able to live in the moment, enjoy your life, not worry about the past or incessantly obsess over the future, to live for today. Because tomorrow will take care of itself, and there's action to this, okay? It's not just going to be that I'm telling you that this is what you need to do. But, like, if right now you're spending every day worrying about tomorrow, worrying about the pandemic, checking the news nonstop, updating the case count for your city, state, country on an hourly basis and shit, like, look, everybody just stop. Like, if you were a crisis management professional, do you think this is what you would be advising people to do? Freak out? All of the time, like, freaking out nonstop helps anything? Where is the calm? Like, I get it. Freak out because the shit is scary, bro. But, like, then, or sis, you have to rein it in after that and be part of the solution and find ways to live back in the, like, I have gone through months this year where I didn't enjoy a single thing I did because I was failing so horribly to live in the moment, like letting pain and worries and woe and the woe is me attitude keep my head so far away that I couldn't enjoy today. And it's still a struggle for me daily. And I think Chris also spoke to something that's like really important that you can try to attack, especially on the weekends or at night when you have alone time or free time away from work. It's to find a way to recenter.
Yes.
Reset is a word that I used to use. It's tough for me because, anyway, I just like recenter more. Recentering, though, meaning like, how do you quiet like the demon monkeys swimming in your head?
Sure.
Like the thing that so many of us struggle with is that we fail to live in the moment because it's just constantly these thoughts of other things popping in. What about the mortgage? What about the bills? What about the TV bill? What about the cell phone bill? What about the kids? What about my girlfriend? What about the how do I manage all these things at once? Like how do I, and it's like, you desperately crave something to shut that out. So you're just constantly looking for ways to distract yourself or whatever. Like that is a very short-term solution. Just like only telling yourself, well, this too shall pass. Yes, that's great. But you better hope it passes soon or it's going to get really old saying that to yourself. Like there has to be action-based shit behind this and you have to find ways to recenter, to reset, to refocus. So how do you do it? There are many different ways. The first one all of us try is drugs and alcohol, and I can promise you they won't do it. Like everyone ever has literally tried this. It's never worked for anybody. It's a temporary fix. Then the shit comes back the next day and it's even louder. That's the one we all first are inclined to try, though, because it's in our society. It's just the thing we're what do you do when you get off a hard day of work and you're stressed out? You go to the refrigerator, you crack open a beer, you sit down on the couch like Homer Simpson and every other television star in the 90s and 80s. That's just ingrained in our society. You unwind, you decompress with substances.
Sure.
Give me the pills. Give me the drugs. Give me the booze. Give me the things. They'll make the stuff in my mind. But yeah, till tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then it's worse. Like there are actually productive things you can do to help quiet your mind, live in the moment, recenter, refocus, reset, whatever you want to call it. And the number one thing that I have found as a person who struggles with this greatly is meditation. And we did an episode talking about the first time I tried meditating a few months ago.
Yeah.
That I did it with this YouTube track with this guy that was telling me, you are a mountain. You are strong. You are steady. And I was like, tight. I fell asleep.
Yeah.
I over-centered. I woke up like sitting up and freaked out. But I've done it a few more times since then in smaller, it was like a 30-minute meditation one I did, and it was intense. There are only a handful of things in this world that can get me to stop overthinking, to get me to stop worrying, to get me to live presently. This is one of them. And it's one of them that I don't know what it is, man.
Well, I think meditation is a way for us to connect with our inner selves. And I think it's something that genuinely every single person should do it.
Because it's a big part of being able to live in the present. If
absolutely.
You're not connected to yourself, how can you?
And it's about clearing your mind, too. And when I say clearing your mind, it's a tricky topic because a lot of people think that means you're not supposed to be thinking or something like that. You're just like taking in what's around you. But we have, in our mind, we have like a reactionary mind and an observing mind. And we live way too often in a reactionary mind instead of a mind that's taking in everything around us and continuing to just live throughout that. And like for me, when I try to clear my mind, when I meditate, it's not shutting all thoughts out. It's accepting what's around me, what I can see and what I can control, and using that to move towards the goals that I want to be at. And what I mean by that, if you're struggling with living in the moment because you have all these big goals in the future that you want to reach and you want to attain, break those down into what can I do today? What can I do right now to achieve those goals? So say like if you're in high school and you're trying to get into the college of your dreams, instead of thinking all the time about like
I'm so worried about college. Which one am I? How am I going to get in? What's the application process? Am I going to get in? What when I get there? Am I going to have friends? Yo, You're not even there yet.
You're not even there yet. You're worrying, you're building, like, especially with people with anxiety have a tendency to build up all of these scenarios and fantasies in our heads.
Especially if you have social anxiety.
Exactly. That you're never even going to live through, and that we're wasting our day living in a moment that doesn't even exist and never will exist. And we're literally wasting our life, because if you live your entire life in the future and then you reach that future and it doesn't even exist, you've never even lived. Dude, you literally have not even lived.
It's a terrifying prospect, but it's like, it's one that I got really fucked up by when I first started having panic attacks, because you almost live, people with panic disorder that have suffered through a lot of panic attacks are going to feel this. You almost live only in the state of being afraid of the next one.
Sure.
And that was years of my life. Years. Full calendar, 365-day years of my life where the only thing I did was live in fear of the next panic attack. And it is a result of trauma. This is not just something that people with panic disorder experience. It's people that something with all forms of PTSD experience. That moment, that trauma, that event, that circumstance consumes you. And it's all you can think about or worry about. And you don't even realize it. That's what's so scary about the lack of self-presence, like that self-awareness to know that you're centered or in the moment.
Yeah.
You don't even realize how far off you are until you stop to think about it, or how long it's been since you lived a day focused on the day,
yes,
instead of all this other stuff. And like you said, that's one of the things my dad told me. He was like, you just, dude, just make a fucking 3-thing list,
yeah,
for that day, and make sure you crush those 3 things, and then, like, you're good. Like,
and if you do that every single day, you will reach where you're supposed to be going. And personally,
and at first, that sounds fucking idiotic to me.
Yes.
But if you get through one, and then you get through a second, and you get through a third, and again, we're back to one day at a time, eventually you go, oh, fuck, this works.
Yes.
I should have been doing this the whole time. I'm an asshole for not trying it sooner.
And my spiritual belief, I would say, this may be a little more woo-woo for some of you out there, but my spiritual belief is the more that we look inwards at ourselves and figure out who we are, the more the universe will point us in the directions that we need to be going in one way or another.
I wholeheartedly agree with that 1,000%. Even under a different framework.
Yeah, exactly. Same concept, different frameworks for different belief systems.
Sure.
But the more that we look inwards and figure out who we really are, the more we will be connected with what's around us, and it will,
and again,
you will land where you need to be going if you stay in the present and you live every day the best that you can. And you always
have to
think.
Not all the time. I'm going to say it. Not all the time. Not everything's going to be perfect all the time. Doesn't 100%. Mean your life is going to be this easy fucking cakewalk.
Absolutely.
But you will feel things click into place because you gave them the opportunity to.
And they feel like you'll start to get these feelings. For me, it was like I started to get these like intuitive feelings, and I would trust,
yes,
my intuitive feelings.
Yes.
And then the more I trusted my intuitive feelings, the more things would fall into place.
And you don't get intuitive feelings if you're not connected to yourself and you're not self-aware and you're not in the moment. You don't get those opportunities unless you've done. And that's the thing, like, that will become so motivating. The first time you experience one of those,
yeah,
you're like, oh.
Yeah.
It's like piece of candy.
Yeah.
It's like when you go play golf and you suck, and then on the 16th hole, you hit one incredible 3-wood that landed 4 inches from the hole, and you're like, well, I'm going to play golf twice a week for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
It's the thing that keeps you coming back. It's that little nugget of joy or self-peace or whatever. And once you get one, then you realize, like, okay, this is possible.
Yes.
And then the battle is remembering that,
because, yes,
you'll still forget again, like, that it is possible and that you did get there and that you did do the work. But, like, that concept of living in the moment, in the present, and being you, like, there was pieces of time early in 2020 when I looked in the mirror into my own eyes, like,
yeah,
while I was brushing my teeth or something, and realized, like, I don't think I've looked at myself in 2 weeks. Like, I don't think I've looked at myself in the mirror in,
yeah,
weeks, which
week
is a sign of a lack of, that's disassociating. I was disassociating from myself in an effort to numb the pain of what I was going through personally.
The week that I got my DUI, same thing. I looked in the mirror,
you
and I was like, who am I? Like, what have I,
yeah,
been
you'll
doing?
You'll have this
I
weird
was so
moment where you finally do look in the mirror and you're like,
what?
Fuck, what the fuck? Like, you almost don't recognize yourself. Like,
yes.
You don't feel like you're in you,
yes,
in your body. And
100%.
It's this very strange,
and
disassociating feeling.
To your point of once you feel it, you'll start to really feel it, and it kind of clicks into place. Like, for me, it was, like, my DUI happened in November. I met somebody the day after my DUI that really started to open what I call my third eye for really just self-awareness and overall understanding of the world, what's around me, and more mindfulness.
His third eye is his two-hole.
Yeah, exactly. That's, I just like to be more appropriate on the pod.
Sure.
And then after that, it was, I began a relationship with you. And then after that, it was having a phone call with you. And then after that, it was you flew me down. And then after that, it was I met people in Austin that I should have had no reason to meet, that I became friends with extremely quickly. And then after that, I was getting a random phone call at 10 p.m. to find my roommates that I now live with. And all these things, like, the more that I started to listen and the more that I started to just trust myself and go with that, the more things started to fall into place. And I've realized, like, now that, like, I got to that goal, right? Because, like, I started to not live as much in the moment because I felt like I had reached that goal. And I started to get further away to start to think of, okay, well, now what's the next goal?
Right.
And that's good to have. You have to always have a next goal. But I was thinking of how to live in that goal already instead of, like, and this is what I mean by segmenting and breaking down your goals. Think of it as, like, so if you want a new job, right? You go in for the interview, you do the very best you can in that interview. Instead of having the anxiety of the next week being like, oh, I would love to, like, thinking of all the things you're going to buy with the new salary or the health package and how great that's going to be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Think about it like, hey, that would be really great if I got that, but I did the best that I can. And so if it happens, it's supposed to happen. And if it doesn't happen, there's another path that I'm meant for.
Preparation is like a huge part of that.
Absolutely.
You can't have that thought unless you prepared properly so that you know you did what you could.
Prior proper practice prevents poor performance. That's my dad's favorite line of
all time.
That's
so many P's.
Yeah.
So many P's.
Oh, no, I think it's prior preparation prevents poor performance. That's what it is, yeah.
Prior preparation prevents poor performance.
Yeah, Rick Colson's favorite line of all time.
I heard
that literally 1,000 times.
Giant Pacific octopus. Anyway, we're all fatigued emotionally this year, whether you want to admit it or not. To be void of emotional fatigue right now would certify you as a sociopath. And we have to treat that fatigue, though, or it will eat away at us. It's not something you can just live with every day and be cool with and recognize and not treat. If you had any other illness or any other issue, you would treat it. You would do something to combat it. So find ways to be present and in the moment, here and now, and add routines to your life that will assist you in this quest for omnipresent supergalactic oneness. Another one, just a couple more for me real quick. Reading. Oh my God, I've started reading again, and it rules. It quiets my mind. It shuts everything else out. I can focus on just on what's the pages, sink into the story. And even if it's just 10 or 20 minutes that I can get out of my own head, that's so huge for me. And then, of course, we say it every time, but workouts and running will clear your mind. Fitness. Something to get your blood pressure up, your heart going, to get your body feeling invigorated. It will give you clarity, even if for a short time, then you have to build upon that. But fitness has been enormous for me, and speak on that, you know, thought process. Coles and I are probably going to go get a smoothie and hit a workout here in a second because it's necessary, and that will help me stay present throughout the rest of my Monday and have a good, healthy start to the week. So good luck to everybody for the rest of 2020, obviously. We're going to continue to do the Monday Mental Health Minute every single Monday. Come back, and we'll have a different topic next Monday to talk about that we hope will help not only Chris and I, but also all of you be able to sort of step into each week with some positivity and a goal for how we can be better mentally, right? Right. RBP 341 is also brought to you by Felix Gray Glasses. Chris and I constantly have our faces in screens from morning to night. There's no cutting back between the podcast and being on Twitch. And really, frankly, for all of us now, all of us, even those of us who aren't professionals, we're all relying on technology to stay in touch with friends and family, but also, of course, to get our jobs done. And screens are here to stay. They're unavoidable. You have to protect your eyes. And there are a lot of blue light glasses on the market. They are not all created equally, though. Many blue light glasses don't filter out enough blue light, especially in the range that really matters. That is not the case with our friends at Felix Gray. They're the best. They filter out 15 times more blue light with their proprietary technology. Obviously, when you spend too much time staring at screens, it results in tired eyes, dry eyes, headaches, blurry vision. You have trouble sleeping. I've been wearing contacts and glasses since I was like 12 years old. We live in the allergy capital of the world. I'm all too familiar with all these symptoms by the end of the day, every day, which is why so often during my Twitch streams or when I'm late at night watching TV shows for OCC or whatever, I throw on my Felix Grays and feel instant relief. Never felt more ocular comfort than I do when I'm wearing my Felix Grays on my face. They're the best. I have two different style of their frames. I have the Faraday. I got the clear ones. You know, a little fashion. style. And then I got the Nash as well. They're both great. Again, Felix Gray filters out 90% of the blue light in the most damaging range, eliminates 99% of glare through their proprietary industry-leading lens technology. Only available Felix Gray. 9 in 10 of their customers report significant symptom relief. Felix Gray frames are hand-finished from durable, super lightweight Italian acetate. They have over 200,000 happy customers. Felix Gray isn't just the right choice. It is the only choice. Love them, wear them every day, worn them for years now. They've got prescription, non-prescription readers. Felix Gray has you covered with optical glasses for work, and they have sleep glasses for in the evening that are clinically proven to increase melatonin secretion when worn leading up to bedtime. You can try them for 30 days risk-free. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/RBP for the absolute best quality blue light filtering glasses on the market. Again, that's felixgrayglasses.com/RBP. FelixGrayGlasses.com/RBP. Do what I did. Start taking better care of your eyes. Feel better. Work smarter. Shipping and returns are totally free at FelixGrayGlasses.com/RBP. Before you head out to take on the world, it's time for some very important announcements. First and foremost, having listened to this entire podcast, you've been saddled with 3 legal obligations, whether you knew it or not. Number one, rate and review. You must rate and review this show. 5 stars, 2 or 3 sentences about why you love it. Check that box. Move on to number 2. Share the show with one person this week. Could be a friend, a family member, a coworker, a neighbor, any one individual that you think this person would really enjoy the Ross Boland podcast. Share the show with them. Check that box and move on to number 3. Use our sponsor codes. Hit those URLs. Support our sponsors who support us and keep us in business. We got Lisa today. Get yourself a mattress from lisa.com/RBP. We got bluechew.com. Use the code RBP for a diamond hard, rock hard boner. And then Suns Oil, of course. Sunsoil.com/RBP for 30% off the most delicious CBD on the market. And then felixgrayglasses.com/RBP. Support our sponsors who support us. Check that box. Completed all 3 legal obs, then you're good. We won't have to see each other in court. I can call out the dogs. The lawyers will leave you alone. We can all live long and prosper. Do you want to follow us on social media? Then do that on Instagram at the Ross Boland Podcast, on Twitter at Ross Boland Pod. We're also on Facebook.com/RossBolandPodcast. Do you want to follow me, Ross Boland, on social medias? Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at WRBOLEN, at WRBOLEN. And also, as I mentioned, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, 7 p.m. Central, twitch.tv/BossRoland. Chris and I are live playing Warzone, Fall Guys, Among Us, and more with podcast listeners. Chris, where can we follow you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at Q0ULS. You can find me on Instagram at ChrisSC99. And you can find me on Snapchat at Chris_Coulson. That's COULSON. Make sure you send in all your trash license plates. Send in all the good stuff the gang stays
dog
up to
pictures,
on a weekly
sports
basis.
Sports pictures, ridiculous vehicles, people fucking up with shopping carts. Send us all your Snapchats. We put up the best ones on at the Ross Boland Podcast on Instagram every day. We love them. Check out Boland Media's television and film podcast, Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, OCC, available wherever RBP is available. We do general entertainment, TV, and film talk every week. Right now, we're covering HBO's Lovecraft Country's debut season up through the season finale this week. We will be talking HBO's Lovecraft Country, the final 2 episodes, the penultimate, and the finale. We'll also be talking about Yellowstone season 2 up through episode like 3, I believe. We just finished coverage of Amazon's The Boys Season 2. If you want to hear us discuss the finale, go check out Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, available wherever you listen to RBP. And that will do it for RBP 341, produced and recorded by Mike Moody Garcia of Permanent Record Studios in Austin, Texas. Chris and I will be back on Wednesday with RBP 342, and of course then on Friday with an ad-free premium edition of RBP on patreon.com/RossBolandPodcast for all the dues-paying members of the RBP gang, pledging their monthly support to keep the show growing and showing. Minimum of just $5 monthly on patreon.com/RossBolandPodcast. Come through, support the show, get more RBP. We're trying to climb back above 1,000 patrons on patreon.com/RossBolandPodcast before the end of the year. Love y'all. Thank you for all the support. Thank you for listening. You are not alone. Podmen get paid. Respect Mr. Park. Strength and honor. Gang, gang, gang. Chris.
Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Go low, baby.